Good morning, and I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's very good to be here this morning. My family is not here, and I miss them, but I will admit that I was able to enjoy the service, each piece, just kind of soak it in as I sat on the front bench without responsibility. I appreciated the songs this morning, Kirvin, leading us in worship. Wynn, I appreciated those devotions about asking God for wisdom. Rest assured, I would not be standing here this morning without having help from God and asking Him for wisdom. I want to give Him the glory this morning for that. Also appreciated the Sunday school class, the enthusiasm of the opportunity we had this morning as Gentiles to be children of God. I keep thinking about, as I was sitting here, I was thinking about Edwin Eby preaching here a couple months ago, and he kept saying, we got in. And I thought about that this morning. I have a very simple message this morning, and I hope that you can learn something from it. But it's an area that I need tremendous growth in my life. I've been convicted of it. And that the title for the message this morning is Prayer, the Christian's Breath. And yesterday afternoon, after some studying, I felt the need for some fresh air, so I ran around the block and put my heart into it, and when I got back home, I was really breathing hard, and I'm probably not as fit as I should be, and I was really, really taking in a lot of breath, and I thought about what would happen if I would just plug my nose right now. Some people, heck, are better at holding their breath than others. Some people, when they're swimming, they can hold the breath for a minute or more. But after we go for a run or we exert a lot of energy, we're really breathing hard. We're just taking in breaths. And it would not be a good time for us to hold our breath after we've exercised or exerted a lot of energy, because our body needs that nourishment. We need that oxygen back in our blood that we have expelled from the exercise. Just hang on to that thought. We'll pick it up after a while. But my burden from this message came from our accountability groups. I enjoy those very much. And a common theme in the groups that I've been a part of the last while, I haven't been in a group with all of you, but it seems like we go around the circle and we talk about where we're at in our spiritual life. And it seems like almost every month and almost every person, we talk about the need for spending more time in prayer. As I thought about, I need it as much as anyone else. I'm not here to downplay anyone or make anyone feel bad. I need it as much as anyone else. So the goal of this message this morning is to inspire each of us to desire deeper and more meaningful prayer life. God desires us to come to Him. He expects us to come to Him in prayer with our thanks and our petitions. He's always there, and He's ready to listen with whatever we want to bring to Him. We as humans are the weak link in this communication circle between God and man. He's always there. He's always ready to listen. I understand this is a large topic, and I struggled to put my thoughts in an organized manner, and so I'll try to keep moving, try to be organized, and not go too far over 11:30. So pray for me in that. I look across our group here this morning, and I realize that we come from a very broad background. Some of us grew up hearing our parents pray. We've prayed ourselves from a very young age. We've been taught to pray. Some of us may remember the very first time that we prayed in public, an audible prayer, that is. And for some of us, praying in general might be a pretty new thing. I understand we come from a broad background. But I just want to, this morning, I want to highlight the importance of prayer, yet the simplicity of it. So let's first look at what prayer is. So prayer is an offering of supplication or thanksgiving to God. That's the dictionary definition. But prayer is just simply communication with God. Communication is sharing information. So I'm communicating with you here this morning. I'm speaking. I have body language. I'm making eye contact, and you all are communicating with me, even though you're not speaking. I can read if you're understanding what I'm saying. I can understand if you're paying attention or if you're falling asleep. I can see those things. So that's, we're communicating. We live in an age of communication like never before. In a few seconds, information can go across the world and be back. I'm just still amazed by that. I've seen that sort of bloom in my time. I think about when my wife and I were dating about 9 years ago in Bangladesh. A weekly phone call, bad connection, very expensive. And now I think about when our teams are in Bangladesh, type a message, send it. WhatsApp, it's recording, back and forth. We live in an age of communication. It's amazing. Has this helped or hindered us in our ability to communicate with God? Maybe touch on that a little bit more later. Communication comes naturally for some people. Some of us love to exchange information. We love to talk about what's going on in our life. We like to interact. We just wait. Maybe some of you are sitting here just waiting to talk to someone after church about what you bought at a yard sale yesterday. I don't know. Some of us love to communicate. Others are just okay bearing our problems ourselves. We just soon keep it inside. I'll deal with what's going on in my life. You deal with what's going on in your life. And we'll do it that way. So our subject this morning is prayer, the Christian's breath. So we're looking at communication with God. So when I think about communication with God, you just need to stop just a minute and think about what that really is. So we looked at communication a little bit, sharing information, thoughts, feelings. So communication with God. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. I want us to turn our minds towards God and think about who He is and who we are praying to, who we are talking to when we pray. So in Isaiah chapter 40, here's a little picture of who God is. I want to start reading in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 40 and read through verse 18, and then we'll skip down to verse 22 and read through verse 28. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. This is being asked in a question form. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? Skip down to verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as tents to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching in his understanding? Let's read verse 29 yet. And he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Now, I don't know how you feel when you read across this chapter in Isaiah, but it makes me feel pretty small. We're talking about God here, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. He spoke everything that we see and things that we don't see into existence. It says here that the nations are less than nothing. They're the dust on a scales. We don't even think about dust being on a scales. How do we get less than nothing? God says here the nations are less than nothing. He sits on top of the earth, it says, the circle of the earth. And he looks down and he sees the inhabitants as grasshoppers. If you're up in an airplane, you look down and you see those little trucks going. And things that are huge look very small. Just think about how big God is. It says here that in verse 26, he created the stars. He's talking about the stars here. He doesn't call them that, but he's talking about the stars. And he calls them all by name. The star that we are most familiar with is the sun. We can't see it today, but we know it's up there. It's 93 million miles away. How many of you remember last fall when we had the eclipse? And the sun was shining very brightly. And they were advertising these eclipse glasses. And some of you may have bought them, but me being very skeptical, on the day of, I'll look up there and I'll see it and enjoy it that way. Well, the day of it came, I stepped outside to see it. And you just can't look at the sun. You cannot without hurting your eyes. And that's just one star God made. There's trillions of stars. He knows them all by name. What I want us to think about this morning is God's power. And that's who we're communicating with. When we are on our knees, when we're standing, we're bowing our head, closing our eyes, and we're praying to God, we're praying to the person who spoke all of this into existence. So when we come to God with our needs and petitions, we need to remember the power source that we're approaching. It says here, is anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for God. We know that. What a privilege we have in this dispensation. We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. To come before Almighty God with our needs through Jesus Christ as our mediator. What a privilege. We have unlimited communication. We can pray as much as we need to. Whenever we have a problem, whenever we have a praise, we can just stop right there and pray to God. I'm young enough to remember the first cell phones, and I remember my dad and uncles having these phones, and they charged by the minute. So I remember my dad and uncles talking back and forth in business, and they would quick try to get off the phone before it went over that minute threshold, because once you went across the minute threshold, then you were charged for the next minute. I don't know, how many people remember that? Clyde, a couple people? Okay, well, that's not how it is with God. It's unlimited. It doesn't matter how long we pray. As often as we want to, we can just come to God. Turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verses 2-3. It's a promise from God. It says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a promise. God Almighty inviting us to call on him and to entreat him and to tap into that power that's available to us. So how do we pray? Some of us, like I said, have been taught from little up how to pray. But how do we pray? Let's look at it a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is very obvious. But first of all, in coming to God when we pray, we have to believe that God is. Like Wynn showed us in our devotions this morning, James 1 verse 6. We have to ask in faith. And that's how God can answer our prayers. So first of all, how do we pray? We must come to God in faith. Turn to Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's another prerequisite for prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 5, says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So when we pray, we need to come in faith, and also we need to pray through our mediator, Jesus Christ. It's important when we pray that we come to God in Jesus' name. At least somewhere in our prayer, we should reference that, either at the beginning. Or most of us probably pray at the end in Jesus' name. But Jesus is our mediator. He's our go-between between God and man. That's an important part of prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Read verses 26 through 27. I know we're going to a lot of scriptures here. But there's a lot in the Bible about prayer and how to pray. We want to use the word here this morning. Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So sometimes when we have a burden on our hearts and we come to God in prayer, we're not even sure what to say. We don't even know how to convey the burden that's on our heart. It says here in Romans that the Spirit intercedes for us. It speaks to God for us and conveys our heart to Him. Even though God knows what's on our hearts, the Spirit translates for us, helps us to pray. So just to recap a little bit, how do we pray? We have to have faith that God is there and He will answer our prayer. We come to God through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit also helps us to pray. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray in Luke chapter 11. But the prayer that we're very familiar with that Jesus prayed, we find in Matthew chapter 6. So we'll read the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6 and learn a couple things from the prayer that Jesus taught to His disciples and to those that were there at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was teaching people many things, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but one of the things He taught them was to pray. So let's read Matthew chapter 6, and then we'll read 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, even before you ask Him." Let me just read verse 8 again. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye." And this we all know by memory, probably. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus first taught a couple things that we shouldn't do, and then He taught us how to pray. So the first thing He says here, He says, don't pray like the Pharisees. They like to be heard in the streets. They like for other people to hear them pray. And that's basically as far as their prayers go. They don't do any good because they're praying to be heard of men. We pray to talk to God. It's important for us to remember that. We're not praying to those who hear us pray, but we're leading others in prayer to God. So if we think we don't have all the right words or we're not quite sure what to say, even in public prayer, we just pour out our heart to God for what he has laid on our heart. And like we talked about earlier, the Spirit will help us to pray. We don't have to have all the right words. We're not praying to the people around us anyway. We're praying to God. Let's remember that. I think it's good in our Wednesday evening prayer if our children can pray. And even if they don't have all the right terminology put together or whatever, just to hear their little hearts pray to God is a blessing to me. The second thing Jesus taught here that we are to go into our closet to pray. Some people take this literally and never pray in public, but they're teaching other places in the scripture that would encourage public prayer. If we have time, we'll look at maybe one or two of those. But I think what Jesus was teaching here is to get away from the distractions when we pray. Leave those things behind us and pray to God. The third thing he said not to do is to make vain reputations. We don't need to repetitions. We don't need to keep repeating ourselves for God to hear us. He said the heathen do that. We simply pray to God in a conversation way, just like we would talk to a friend. Jesus taught us many things about prayer in this prayer that he taught here. I'd like to look at just a couple of those things. The first one, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So Jesus was teaching here how approachable God is by calling him our Father, referring to him as our Father. Yet he follows that with a reverence to the Father with hallowed be thy name, maintaining a reverence for God Almighty. I think it's important that we do that in our prayers as well. We bring our needs, we talk conversationally with God, but we never forget who we're praying to and the reverence that we should have. The second part, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed this prayer knowing the will of the Father. Clyde mentioned in Sunday school about eternity past and God and Jesus knowing what was going to happen in the future. Jesus prayed this prayer knowing what God's will was for his life, the suffering that he was going to have to go through. So that this communication could be open for you and I, he prayed God's will would be done, knowing that it was going to be hard. Do you ever struggle to pray that God's will be done in a situation when you know it could be really hard for you? Just pray God's will could be done. It's a challenge for me to do that. Jesus not only prayed these words, but he lived them out. God's will be done. It's important in our prayers that we pray that we just lay down our agenda, give our request to God, our petition, and leave it there. The third part, give us this day our daily bread. We need to ask God for our daily needs. God knows the needs that we have, but he wants us to ask him daily for those physical needs that we have and the spiritual needs that we have every day. And he can provide for those needs for us on a daily basis. I don't think any of us here know what it is to have daily bread. We have enough and more in our freezers for probably a couple weeks. But there's many in the world who literally pray for their daily bread. Let's not forget about them. But you and I, and all of us, doesn't matter how full our freezers are, we need that daily spiritual nourishment that comes from God. Fourth, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just like we ask for daily bread, we need to ask for daily forgiveness. At least I do. I make mistakes. I need that daily forgiveness. We are humans, and outside of forgiveness that we receive from God, we cannot come to him. It's only as we forgive those who have wronged us that we can find forgiveness for our sins before a holy and just God. The fifth line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So after we've asked God to forgive us, we need his strength to live above sin every day so we can be holy and that we can keep this communication line open with God, because sin is what separates us from God. And maybe I'm showing my age here again, but think about a phone. The phone that has the dial tone. You pick it up, listen for the dial tone, and then dial your number. Sin separates from God. When you make that connection, it's just silent. There's nothing there. Sin separates and breaks that communication line. We can only have communication with God as we live holy lives and free of sin. The last line, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our prayer should always give honor and glory to God. When we recognize who we are and who God is, it should produce within us a heart of adoration for him and thanksgiving that is expressed to him in prayer for all that he has done for us. We read those verses in Isaiah, talked about the greatness of God and who he is and how small we feel. So our prayers, Jesus taught us in our prayer to give honor and glory back to God. So what do we pray for? Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know how your days go, but there's so many little things that come up in a day to pray about. And there's also big things, but something like lost keys. We've prayed for this many times at our house. Can't find the keys. Getting ready to go somewhere, can't find the keys. Look high and low, nowhere to be found. Too many times it's my last resort, when it should be my first resort. Pray to God. God cares about where our keys are, or whatever situation that you have in your life, small, big, God cares about it. Bring it to him. Face a situation at work. How am I going to do this? Pray about it. It's amazing how many times God intervenes, orchestrates things, works things out that we could ourselves never work out simply by just giving it to him. Small things, big things, it doesn't matter. There's a couple kinds of prayer. I'm just going to skip over this quickly, but there's private prayer. And in our Sunday school lesson, Peter was up on top of the roof praying when God spoke to him. He got away from the people, got to a quiet place. Those of you that have been in Eastern culture, the roof is a good place to pray. It's a quiet place. I've spent many good times praying on the roof. It's a good place to pray. Let's make sure we don't skip our private prayer. There's times of collective prayer. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. The church was gathered together at Mary's house, praying for Peter. Peter was facing a beheading probably, but the church was praying for him, and miraculously, the chains fell off. The angel touched him, said, Peter, wake up. The soldiers didn't see him leave. The gate swung open. Out they went, and Peter gets out of prison. Oh, where's he going to go? He's going to go to Mary's house, and there he finds the church praying for him. Collective prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is a way of life. Remember, we're talking about prayer being the Christian's breath. Don't cut it short. The next point is Jesus, our example in prayer. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, read 32 through 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. So I want to look at a couple examples or a couple of areas that Jesus is our example in prayer. And what I want to pull from this was he got up early in the morning to pray. Now it says here that the sun was set and then the people came to him. So I don't imagine this was an early evening for Jesus. I don't doubt he got to bed early the night before. I'm sure this was probably a late night for him. Yet he got up a great while before it was day to pray. We have many pressures of life that come upon us with the rising of the sun. If we don't make special time to get up and start our day with prayer and Bible reading, the next thing we know, our day is on us, we're out the door, we're off to work, and we've missed the most important part of our day. Jesus didn't do that. He got up before it was day, a great while before it was day, to pray. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Another time, Jesus was our example in prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. So Jesus was about to choose his disciples here. I'm sure it was weighing heavily on his mind. He was picking some men that were going to convey his teachings to the world. Very important work ahead of him, and I'm sure it weighed on him very heavily. And he spent the night in prayer. Have you ever had something weighing on you so heavily that you spent a whole night in prayer? I'll confess, I've never prayed all night. But what I want to learn from these verses is we talk about being busy and the things that we have in our lives that drown out our prayer time. And we are busy with a lot of good things. We make time for what we want to make time for. We might have to get up a great while before it's day, or we might have to stay up at night, but we have time to pray. And I'm speaking to myself here. Jesus was our example in that. Another way Jesus was our example is he prayed alone and in a quiet place. We won't turn to these, but Mark chapter 6, verse 46 says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray." Luke 5, 16, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Luke 22, verse 41, when Jesus was in the Mount of Olives, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This was just before his betrayal, but he separated himself for that communication with God. When we really want to communicate with someone, or we have a one-on-one conversation with this person, we get away from the hustle and bustle and the distractions so that we can focus. The same is true in prayer. When we want to communicate with God, we need to get away from the hustle and bustle of life to a quiet place to pray. We have to make a conscious effort to go to a quiet place and not take the noise with us. I know that some of us do our personal Bible reading on our smartphones, and I know it can be handy to have a Bible in our pocket. But let's just make sure we're going to a quiet place. We have that in our hand. We get a notification. How easy it for us to just drag down and click on what that is to read it. Or even if we set it off to the side when we pray, we hear a message come in. Even if we don't pick it up, the distraction that noise is to us takes us away from the communication with God. I'm not saying it does, but it can for me. Let's go to a quiet place, a place that we can just lay aside everything and just communicate with God one-on-one. I thought about back when I was dating. When my wife or my girlfriend then, we would have a conversation. And that was the most important thing. We were communicating back and forth. I would not have been very happy if my dad would have said, "Hey, I want to, your next phone call, I want you to three-way me in." I would not have been a fan of that. I doubt Wynn would be either if Clyde would say, "Hey, I want to listen in on your next phone call." When we want to have these close conversations, we take everything else away. We want that one-on-one. Another thing we can learn is Jesus prayed earnestly. Turn to Luke chapter 22, if we're in Luke there. Let's read verse 39 through 46. Luke chapter 22, verse 39-46. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, we read this verse earlier, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So Jesus was praying with agony of soul here for what he was facing. We can't even imagine this agony that Jesus felt, pouring out his heart to his Father. Imagine how it felt to rise up from his knees, turn around, and see the disciples sleeping. The ones he'd asked to pray with him, they're sleeping. Can't imagine the disappointment. But I had to stop and ask myself, how many times do I run myself to exhaustion with things of this world? And then I fall into bed, only remember I haven't spent much time in prayer today, so I feel it's my duty to pray. I lie in bed and start to pray, and next thing I know, I'm asleep. We will not have a vibrant prayer life if we view our prayer life as an afterthought. It needs to be our first thing, our highest priority. And there's a lot of things we could talk about with on where we pray, how we pray, to keep us alert. We don't have time to go into that, but I found for myself making a list of things I want to pray about and following that list, and that helps keep me focused. And there's many other helps I'm sure you have for your keeping your prayer life on track, but just being haphazard about it, laying in bed, kicked back in recliner, all of these things do not lend itself to a vibrant prayer life. Let's be careful with that. When we think about prayer as communication with the Creator of the universe, it should inspire within us a reverence that should make us pray with a fervency that makes our other desires look pale. We can get pretty cranked up about what we want to get cranked up about. Let's make prayer that important. A couple verses on the importance of prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. We get our strength from prayer. Luke 22b says, Jesus said, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. We find victory through prayer. If our prayer life is suffering, we can expect our spiritual life to be wanting as well. John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We get our needs met through prayer, by giving our needs to God. Another important thing that happens in prayer, in fervent prayer is things happen. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How often do we limit the power of God by our half-hearted prayers? We don't pray for big things and we don't get big things. Let's remember that. Things happen when we pray. Fervent prayer avails much. Let's do it. Let's enter into it. Our burdens are lifted when we pray. I can't explain to you what the prayer between singing and getting up front does for the person that's getting up front. It calms the soul. It gives strength. It's a huge blessing. I'm sure all of you can relate to that. When you have something up front, to know that someone's praying for you, And when we pray, we can just take our burdens to God and leave them there, and the weight that rolls off of us. Our souls are refreshed. When we're in spiritual battle, like I talked about at the beginning of the message, when we're running hard, we don't plug our nose and cut off our breath, but we breathe those deep breaths in. So when we're facing something spiritually, don't hold your breath, your spiritual breath. Don't stop praying. Pray the more. Get that oxygen into your lungs. Think about it spiritually here. Our breath gives our lungs, take the oxygen and put it into our bloodstream. Our prayers do the same thing. It enriches us. Don't plug your nose. Don't hold your breath. That's what I should say. Don't hold your breath in a spiritual battle. There's a little acronym here that I want to write up. It's not original with me, but something to take with you this week to remember is Let Us Pray. Praise God for what He has done. Praise God for what He has done. The R, repent. Repent for what we've, for where we have failed. Repent of our sins. The A, ask God to supply our needs. We have many needs. Let's ask Him. And then the Y, yield to His will. When we pray to God, it's important that we praise Him, that we've repented of our sins, we ask Him for what we need, and that we yield to His will. Whatever that is for our lives. I hope that you've been challenged this morning to pray. Pray more. It's a spiritual life or death matter. Let's be a praying church. Mountains can be moved through prayer. Hearts that are hard can be softened through intercessory prayer. Church buildings can be found through prayer. You put the whatever you want in there can be done through prayer. Let's not forget the importance and the power of it, yet the simplicity of just simply calling out to God as our Father and giving Him our request. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this beautiful morning You've given to us. Thank You for the opportunity to fall on our knees, worship You. Lord, I just pray that You could meet the needs in each one of our lives. Lord, help us to be a praying people, people who communicate with You often and keep His communication lines open. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.